Sunday the 4th of December, Yudkes Kislev, Rabbi Avraham Rockmill, Mind the Generation Gap.
I'd like to thank the Gaboyim for inviting me again, Dudi and his Chaverim. Shemol be Matzliach, to continue to be Marbitz Torah here in London. It's a Gevaldik Gezach, such an institution everyone should learn together every morning. And broadcast it throughout Greater Britain.
The whole world.
Oh, that's really frightening. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch is looking at us wherever we are, right? We don't realize we're broadcasting all the time. I named this shiur Mind the Gap. Just when I took my family here with my dear Mechutin, when we had the chasna, we went down on the tube, my Israeli family, I'm an American, I'm used to the subway, went down, they were having a great time. And all of a sudden, this woman starts saying, "Mind the gap, mind the gap." And I'm sorry, you know, I'm an American. My kids are Israelis. We didn't know what she wanted. It took a while. It took a while until we figured out, you know, we shouldn't fall into the space between the train and the platform. In America, we would have said, "Watch your step." But in any event, it took us a while. Mind the gap. As it was stuck with us, we had a great time with it. But the truth is, and I was growing up, and I don't know exactly what it was like here in England, but in America, when I was growing up, there used to be a thing we used to call the generation gap. The generation gap, at the time, was between the youth and their elders. The youth were busy saying, "Why are you so busy with this military-industrial complex? You're busy making corporations, you're busy making napalm to throw in the poor Vietnamese. Why are you doing that? Why are you wasting your time? Let's have a good time." That was the generation of the rebellion, beginning of the, unfortunately, the Hefkeres, which has taken over our world, but that time was against the Vietnam War. And there was a gap between the generations. One generation, the younger generation, said, I want to dedicate myself to business, I want to just have a good time. And the older one saying, "What's with my children? Why don't they do? Why don't they work? Don't they understand? Look at this empire I built for them, and they don't want to take it over." Later on, we find out that Abby Hoffman, who was the leader of the revolution, the student revolution in America, when he got older, he became a CEO. And the Maase is La'Abdil, it's a Groa, it's a Vilna Gaon, it's Chazal. On the Gemara, it says, the Rebbe, Choni Amago, yeah, he was looking at the Pasuk, it says in Shir Malos, "B'shuv Hashem et Zion, chaynu kechomim, hayunu kechomim." We were like sleeping for 70 years. And he didn't understand pshat. The Gemara says over here as follows. Ha'in k'mo she'amar Chazal, gilma mishmaras havi alayla. There are three mishmaras, there are three guardings, as it were, three sections of the night. Ho'olam hazeh, shedom alayla. This world that we live in is like darkness, it's like the night, it's... The times of the night, that means Olam Hazeh, our time in this world, are divided into three different times. Ha'aliyah, going up. Ha'amida, stationary. Vayirida, going down. Gikomene aliyahu, rodev, all the time of a person's aliyah, rodev acha, taibas Olam Hazeh. When a person's young and the may aliyah, he's running after the taibas. He's running after the desires of this world. B'yamei Amida, in his Amida, in the in-between time, rodei v'acha osher v'kavod. Person runs after riches and honor. V'zeh shekoshev, that it says in the Gemara, Mishmar Rishon, it says in the Gemara, it's quoted in the Gemara in Brachas, that the first Mishmar says, Chamor Noer, that the donkey is screeching. We know that Amadom Lachamor, that's Yishmael. Yishmael is Chamor, so the donkey, the Chamor is screeching, that's the Yemei Aliyah. That's when a person's young. Shnia, it says, what's the sign of the second Mishmar? Kalavim, Salakim, Hav, Hav. The dogs are screaming, give, give. That's the Mashal from Mensch, running after his wealth and his covet. And the Shlishis, which is interesting, the third, Yemei Yerida. Sha'az ro yamei yarida, person sees that things are going down. Az choizer midarko hara, a person then has an awakening to tshuva, v'parish l'tara, and he goes and he starts to learn Torah when he's older. V'zeshukasav shlishis tinok yonek mishtehimo. That's what it says. The tinok is suckling from his mother, because that's the mother, the suckling from the Torah. All the resichos of a person, all the heatings or taibas are described by Chazal sometimes as an isha, and the neshama is considered the baal. The ishim is aperis in baala. So the woman, it says in the last tchufa, the last mishma of the night, the isha, the woman is talking to her husband. Afilu imidaberes in avatara. That means even the goof, our chomer, is desiring learning, desiring to correct itself. And that was what Choni Amagel didn't understand. He looked at 70 years. How could a person that 70 years go and sleep and forget his tafkid? They wouldn't wake up in the end. This is the description of what I said before. Chazal are telling us, the Gaon's explanation is explaining that there is a generation gap, that there are times when a person's young, what burns within him is taivas, afterwards it's oish of a kavod, and the third part of his life, and as you read it, he starts to understand what life is all about, and he wants to be perished to learn Torah. When you're young, you think that, well, when I get to that second stage, when I get to that third stage, everything's going to be okay. What we have to understand is, nisyonis, tests in life, that's the fabric of what life is really all about. That when a person's in one madrega, he looks at the other ones, he doesn't understand them, and he thinks, when I get there, I'll be different. It's not true. We're all subject, unfortunately, or this is the pathway of life, to the different nisyonis that we encounter as the age goes. And just like when you're young, you can't appreciate what the people are older than you're going through, sometimes when you're older, we don't appreciate what our children are going through. But let us all recall that this nisyonis, as it says by the Asar nisyonis, shenisnas Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested by 10 tests. And Chazal tell us, the Mefarshim say over there, that the 10 tests correspond to Asara Mamara Shenivra, along to the 10 statements by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And the Aseres HaDibros, and the 10 statements, the 10 Dibros that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Which means that those 10 tests, as it were, are the creation of the world and the creation of the spiritual world of a man. The 10 tests, Avraham Avinu did many more than 10 tests. But those 10 tests are the underpinnings of Binyan HaAdam, of the building of a man. Remember the Klal Yisrael, ultimately we are called Adam. We are that nation that stands at Maimon Har Sinai. And it says in the Prophet Yechezkel, Atem Kruim Adam. You are called man. Avraham Avinu built those 10 tests, the building blocks of the spiritual genealogy, the spiritual genetics of the Jewish people. And that builds a man. So the tests that we go through in life, in these three different stages, this is how we build ourselves. This is how we become Adam, by facing them. But as I said before, there's a gap. We can look at the older generation, not understand them, and the oldest, and our elders look at our youth and we don't understand them. But I'd like to discuss a little bit today, there's another type of generation gap that I've discovered. The generation gap, I think it's the modern generation gap. Again, what Chazal say is for sure, the given, the type is of the youth. When a person's young, that's what we see. As educators and parents, I think we have to understand that there's another thing happening in the world today, among with our youth, which I'm exposed to a lot, and I've done a lot of, I can't say I did formal research, but I speak to a lot of people, and it's not just a question of my own experiences, but what I've spoken out with others in Yerushalayim who deal with a lot of youth. We see today that the children, the fellows who come to yeshivas today, are not the same ones that came 20 years ago. We see that their preparation in terms of their learning is different, and we find a generation which is plagued by things which are called ADHD, ADD, lack of ability to concentrate, to focus. We have a lack of motivation, and I've even discovered that unfortunately, sometimes people come to yeshiva and their basic education has been gone. 12 years of wasted time. Now, I don't think this is true for everybody, and I think, frankly, to the people I'm speaking to in England, it's a little better. But I think a word to the wise is sufficient. Because England sort of trails America by a few years. But in this, halavai, you should be able to stop it. Or at least control it. Because it's starting here also. I don't know if it's the same degree as in America. If you have students, I once tested, I was speaking to some students, and we're learning a sugi, and we were trying to calculate a shear, you know, a certain shear of chazal, and we're trying to put into metric, or the measures that we know, and we were calculating, etc. So I was doing my head, I was rounding off, etc., and I saw that my students were not following. So I said, okay, well, go make a long division. Go make a long division. I learned that in third grade. I was 8 years old, long division. Tell you that half the people could not do long division. So they told me afterwards, well, you know, everyone does it with a calculator today. They didn't learn. I mean, long division, that's a life skill. I'm not talking, this is not Torah Derech Eretz Shmuz. I'm not here for Shim Shim Rafal Hirsch. That's not what I'm discussing. You know, that's another Shmuz. I'm talking about life skill. If you can't add and divide, I'm sorry, there's something you can't get on with life. I was really upset. And then, I had another Shmuz with a group of people, and we were learning this again. It's a question of the agreement between the noun and the adjective in Hebrew. You know, shlosh derachim, a woman is acquired in three ways, and there's an issue over there. It should be male, it should be female. Okay, so I understand. They're not telling me, they don't know the Hebrew language. Maybe they're not familiar. But I started to say, you know, you have to have agreement between the noun and the adjective. And, you know, and I started with noun and adjective. When somebody in the class didn't understand exactly what I meant, that's when I started to back off. I think that's absurd. But you know what? So I asked around. I spoke to some educator. I started screaming to somebody, you know, who speaks to all the educators in America. He's a big person in the field. He says, and he started to describe to me some of his experiences and the people aware of this and the difficulties that educators today face keeping children in class and able to educate them. If a fellow can come to Osamach, I got to explain one different thing. And he comes from home, and he went to 12 years of school. I understand I'm not getting the cream in the crown. He wouldn't be coming to me, and otherwise he needed help. But he can't read the Rashi script, can't read it. And I've had students that can't even daven properly. 12 years in school. What did they pay for? What is going on? So you tell me, okay, it's a minority. But it's a mere tanikar. There's a group of people in the school system who are not getting attention. Who are not being educated. It's a chaval, it's such a destruction of human time and effort and energy. And I think we have to start to wake up to see that many children, again, there are many fine kids who go through the system and come out very well. But there's a myriad and nicker of children and young people today who are not being reached. Now we have to understand, sometimes when I face this, I say, okay, let's go back, like my shrigger, she should be well. You know, we got to go back to Spanarod and spoil the child. Don't spoil the child, right? You know, Shlomo Melech, go back to the stick. Unfortunately, that doesn't work either. Because, you know, just before I came here, I happened to speak to somebody I know well, and unfortunately I come across this quite a bit, whose son comes from an esteemed family in Yerushalayim, and I had to see, you know, he's, whatever, how he's living in a place way far away from Torah, doing things which are not lefi yurchenu at all. And I get famous name personalities, families coming to us Sameach, and these are people whose grandchildren, grandfathers, I learned this for him. Now, that's what's happening. So you can't say, and oftentimes you speak to such bachim, it has to do with emotional issues between their parents, etc. So to say we're going to go back to what used to work, that won't necessarily, I don't think that's going to necessarily fly. Because we just turn the kids off worse. But at the same time, we have to work on educating our youth. I would like to explain that it says by Yosef Tzadik that we learn from him that when we have to face the challenges of the generation, these challenges change. It says, coming in Parshas Miketz, that Yosef HaTzadik was the one who was able to preserve the food, and nobody else was. It says in the Pasuk, V'yikbot kol ochel sheva shanim asheyu be'eretz Mitzrayim iten ochel barim ochel stei ha'i ashes yivuvseh nosim besorcha. He put the dirt which was surrounding the city, he used it as the preservative for the tefuah of that place. Shekol eretz ve'eretz ma'amed, it says Rashi Peroseh. Each place puts out its peros. V'nosnim b'tefuah me'afra amokum. He put from the tefuah, he put into the produce the dirt of that place. U'ma'amid es ha'tefuah milarakev. To keep the tefuah, to keep the food from going off. The Nefesh HaChaim explains that Torah is compared to an otzer full of tefuah. Our Torah, our knowledge of Torah, is compared to a storehouse filled with grain. And Yerush Shemayim, he says, is like the kav chuntim, is the preservative that you put in. And he explains how a person has to be always reminding himself of his Yerush Shemayim when he's learning, to keep the right intention when he's learning the Gemara, and when he's davening, in his avodas Hashem, to keep himself focused on who he's serving and why he's doing it. And he calls that the kaf chuntim, because in other words, it's just a little bit of preservative, but without it, the whole the tefuah goes off. That's the Yerush Shemayim that you have to put and you have to combine with the learning, with the avodas Hashem. It says here by Yosef HaTzadik that he put the offer of each place. That was his key to success. He put in the dirt of that place. That's what was good to preserve the food of that place. Which means, in the Nimshal, that means that the Yerush Shemayim, which is necessary to fight the Nisyonis of every given place, is not the same. What the Nisyonis that our forefathers faced, we read about Jewish history. There's certainly, Tzadah Shavuot, when we fast, we say that we're repeating their sins. There are common denominators in every generation. But what was required before, you know, in during the period of the Haskalah, and what was required before the war, and what was required, say, 40, 50 years ago, is not necessarily what's required today. We have to understand that the Yerush Shemayim that is necessary to implant in ourselves and in our children and our communities, it has to come in a different form. We need to offer our makom. We need the that which is necessary for that place and time. You know, it's a curious thing. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure you've been there, and you buy hadassim. Hadassim, which they sell in the shuk. The hadassim, they take the hadassim svat, and they replant it in Ramat Golan. Okay? The hadassim of the svatim are the beautiful ones, little small ones, beautiful ones, and they replant them in Golan. They also come out nice, but they're not exactly the same. They don't look exactly the same. Why? Because they're planted in different earth. And hadassim are the symbol of a tzaddik. The tzaddik comes out different in every place because of the nisyonis, of the tests and the challenges of his makom. And we venture to say of our time, we're living in a different generation. We're living in a generation which has changed tremendously since all of our youths. We have to think about it, that the telephone, the cell phone, has been nafutz only for 10, 15 years. You know, when I first started traveling, I traveled for the yeshiva. I know there was no such thing as a telephone. I remember having to go out in the middle, make phone calls with my 25-cent pieces and freeze. Life has changed, and it's brought along its own nisyonis. I've done some little research. I was asking some of the students, some of the people who are aware of the issues that we're facing. And I asked them, what's going on with these youth? Why isn't nobody can pay attention to shiur? Why is there no focus? So they explained to me as follows. You don't understand, he says. We have today a thing called a telephone. And if you ask a person, where are you? Well, he's sitting right here. Well, that's not true. Because everyone has their telephone, everyone has a cell phone, and they're getting messages. Now remember the first time that someone walked out on my shiur was about, I would say, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Can't think exactly the time. I remember the first kid who got a phone call in the middle of the shiur and walked out. So I started screaming, so sell the stock, sell the stock. You know, what could be so important that you got to leave a shiur? You know, that you got to, maybe you're getting a phone call about, you know, your broker is calling, and you know, you're going to lose all your money, so you know, you have to be told to sell. So otherwise, why are you leaving the shiur? I thought I was making a joke. Ho, ho, ho. That's nothing. The kids are on their phones 24/6. 24/6, they're on their phones. They're texting. They're talking. So I want to ask you, where are you? They're not here. They're elsewhere. They're with their friends. They can be all over the world. Years ago, and I remember as a buck, I didn't have such a challenge. I spoke to my mother once a week, and it cost a lot of money because those times international phone calls were very expensive. So, you know, it wasn't even this way. For states, I'm not going to speak. Today, kids are on the phone with their parents. Kids are on the phone with their friends. They're on the phone all over. So where are you? They're not here. They're not here. They're not in front of you. What do you expect from them? And then there's a thing today called the Facebook, right? Facebook is a great thing. Oh, you know, you can communicate with the entire world. You have friends and all this type of thing. That means they have their Facebook and they're with their friends and they're constantly making cheshbonos about doing this and doing that. It's all air. But we all know to learn Torah, to learn anything in this world, you have to be able to sit down and look at it and do it. So how are you supposed to teach such a person? His mind is going in 15 different directions. Gemara says, by Rabbi Akiva, famous piece of Gemara. We know that Rabbi Akiva was taken by Rachel as a husband, and she sent him off to learn Torah. And Kalba Savua was the father-in-law, and he disinherited his daughter and his son-in-law because he didn't hold from Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells us famous story that Rabbi Akiva came with 12,000 talmidim. He returned. He overheard his wife speaking. And his wife said that he could go for another 12 years. And he went back to yeshiva. He was 24 years in yeshiva. Came back with 24,000 talmidim. By this time, Kalba Savua had charata. You know. And he heard there was a gavra rabba came to town. He wanted to be mata netter. He wanted to annul his netter so he could give money to his children. So he came and he didn't always speak to Rabbi Akiva. So he said, "I'm a ezel legabe. I'll go to him. Efshe the mefer nedrai. Yeah, maybe he'll be made for my netter." Asa legabe came to him. "I'm a le adaita legabe rabba min nadarta. Did you make a netter thinking he was going to be a great man?" I didn't think that he would be capable of learning one parak of Mishnayos or one halacha. That's the Gemara, famous piece of Gemara. And there's a Tosfos over here. I heard this first from Revolba. Chazal, he says, "Adaita the gavra rabba mi nidarta im tama halo asal iftayach min nolad." Chazal tell us you can't open a netter from Nola. Now it's something that's happened in the future. You can't release the netter unless the situation existed at the time you made the netter. So how was Rabbi Akiva saying to Kalba Savua, you know, would you have made the netter knowing that he was going to be a great man? It's a future thing. Famous words of Tosfos. The Hachalo Chashiv Nolad, Kivin Shahalak LeBei Rav, since he was going to Bei Rav to Yeshiva, it's the way, it's the derech to go to yeshiva to become a great man. Someone goes off to learn, he's going to become a great man. That's what says in Tosfos. And Revolbi at the time, maybe he was speaking about madrigas and learning and whatever what Chazal have in mind when it means to go to yeshiva. But I'd like to say with Dava Pashut, I mean, I've said this over many times. I used to talk about the fact that kids bring all their junk with them to Eretz Israel. Remember, there used to be a kid who came off the plane with a hockey stick. You know, he's got his hockey stick. Come here, just bring his hockey stick. You know? That was the mark of the man, okay? But now I got a new one. You got to come to yeshiva. You can be in yeshiva today and not be there. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You're all over the world, but you're not here. You got your text messages. You got your phone. And I'm not talking about the negative things. You're right, that's schmoozing. I'm sure everyone discussed it, the internet, etc. Talking about the simple element of the phone. You're not here. You are not here. Boy walks out of my shir. The other day, he walked out. You know, he got a phone call. Then I didn't see him for a day and a half. I mean, what do you think was in that phone call? It was just his friend probably telling him to meet him downtown and do that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he can't avoid it. So it's an addiction, the stupid phone. You want to go to yeshiva to become an Adam Gadol, you got to be in yeshiva. So I'm not even talking about godless, and let's talk about just going to do anything. Why is it people don't get basic education? Why is it they don't have basic knowledge of the Yahadut? It's because they're not there. I think that there's a lot of people have said various tikkunim, various ways we can somehow try to improve the situation. I know that I've spoken at it, that the stipler said that the chinuch b'zman ikmesed mashicha, time of before the coming of Messiah, chinuch is going to be a great nesoyin. That's what we see it as today. To educate children, it's not so simple. And there are a lot of things that can be said about this, but I'd just like to offer one thought. Rabbi Akiva was a great man. Let's look back at the parsha we just read. It says that after Yaakov Avinu fought the Tsar of Esav, he came, and it says, V'yavo Yaakov Sholem Yeshchem, he came and he was Sholem, and he built him his Beach, V'yatziv Sham his Beach, V'yikra lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. Now there's a shiloh what exactly this pasuk means. Rashi says he called the Mizbeach as if he called on the shame of the nace that happened to him, Elokei Yisrael. But the Ramban brings down, the Rabbeinu Bachai brings down, Medrash, V'yikra lo Kel Elokei Yisrael, that he was called Kel by Elokei Yisrael. One parish in the Medrash is that Yaakov Avinu was called Kel. It was called Kel. And Chazal say, according to one shot in the Medrash, Echa be'yonim, Echa be'taktonim, Kel Yaakov, since his image was Chakuk, the Kisei of Kavod, he was be'yonim Kel, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shekhinah be'taktonim, he's be'taktonim. You, Yaakov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, you're Kel be'yonim, your image is engraved under the Kisei of Kavod, and I am, as it were, Kel, be'taktonim. There's another pshat that says that Yaakov himself said on himself that he called himself Kael, that he said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're a God up above, you're Kael Elyon, and I'm Kael B'Taktoni. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu then took him to task. It's Mirben B'Chai brings B'Yetzei Dina, and Dina went out. He made such a statement on himself, he was punished with the events of Dina. There's a Havamina, there's a statement over here that Yaakov Avinu was called Kel. Let's remember that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu created man, he said, Lo Tov Lios Adam Levado, Nasa Lo Eza Kenegdo. Why? Says Lo Tov, says Rashi, Lo Tov, that there should be a Chab Elyonim, the Chab Etatonim. That man would be the only thing in this world by himself. There would be a confusion. They think that God's up above and man's down below and they're equal. See, Nazar, he made it, Eitz HaKenegdo, he made Chava, that we are two, we are not one, we are two, and we have to combine to become one. The Nefesh HaChaim explains, man, we call Kel, Tzelem Elokim, because that is our ability to create and destroy worlds. Yaakov Avinu, whose image was chakuk to the Kisei HaKavod, the Malachi Sharis went up and down, they saw his image above, and they saw him lying down on the floor below. He was down below on the floor, his physical body, and his image was underneath the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the godless of a mensch. That's the godless of a Jew. A Jew has the ability to change the entire world. I think we have to understand that we have to start to work on our children to understand the beauty, just the simple beauty of being a Yid. Whether they're successful in the becoming Talmid HaChamim, or whether they have other tafkidim in the Jewish world, but they have to be explained and understand how beautiful and how powerful and how full of sipuk and full of satisfaction it is to be a Jew. A Jew is compared to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Jew is the prime mover of creation. We are the center. If we make that message, there's no room for a child or young man or young girl for that matter to feel that they don't have a purpose, to feel that they're lost, to feel that they don't know where they're going in life. All of Jewish life is filled with ultimate meaning. And this is a message we have to get across to our children, and to our students, and to ourselves. that when we get up in the morning and we say Moda Ani, and we get up and we pray to the Kodesh Baruch and we say a bracha, that's the greatest privilege there is in the world. And to act as a Jew and to live like a Jew, that is Kein Chayin V'Rachim, and that's Tachlis. That is the Tachlis of life. And we just emphasize with the beauty of Jewish life and the beauty of what we have as Jews, and we that should be a source of comfort to our kinder who are not making it through the system, to understand that they have cherished in the eyes of the Kaddish Baruch and opening the eyes of all of the Jews for being a member of the Jewish people and to doing their rutz, the rutzin of Hashem. I wish us all, Mishav Siyata Dishmaya, raising our own children, raising our Talmidim, helping those in the community, that's Hashem, we shall stand and be ready for Mashiach to come.